Hi, I'm Peter Czanik from Hungary. I work for One Identity, and today I will talk about SysLogNG version 4, which was released just a couple of months ago. So first, let me give you a quick overview. I will try to define what is logging and what is SysLogNG. Then I will give you a quick retrospective of SysLogNG version 3. Then explain what is new in SysLogNG version 4. And finally, I will give a few tips when you plan to upgrade from version 3 to version 4. So first of all, what is logging? It's a recording of events on a computer. For example, you can see an SSH login message on the screen. So what is SysLogNG? It's an enhanced logging daemon with a strong focus on portability and high-performance central log collection. It was originally developed in C, but now it can be extended in Java and Python as well. You might ask why central logging was emphasized in this description. It's one of the main features of SysLogNG, and it's really important in any kinds of IT environment. First of all, it's ease of use. If you have central logging, then you can have a single place to check your log messages instead of trying to log into tens or even thousands of hosts to figure out what happened on your network. It's also availability. So if the sending machine is down, you can still check the log messages and figure out what happened. And it's also security. Logs are available even if the sender machine is compromised. And you can see the unchanged log messages there. SysLogNG has four major roles. It can collect log messages, it can process log messages, filter them, and finally store them either locally or forward the log messages somewhere. The first role is data collection. It can collect system and application logs together, which means that they can provide quite interesting contextual data for either side. It has a wide variety of platform-specific sources, devlog, the Linux journal, Sun streams, some NetBSD-specific changes, and so on. As a central log collector, it can speak all of the different syslog protocol variants over the network, the legacy or the BSD or BSD syslog protocol, which can be identified by RFC 3164, or the new or RFC 5424 syslog protocol over UDP, TCP, and encrypted connections. It can also collect log messages or practically any kind of text data from applications through files, sockets, pipes, application output, and so on. And the best of all, that if there is no input driver for a source you want to collect log messages from, then you can easily extend SysLogNG in Python. You can write an HTTP source, a Kafka source, or whatever you need. The next role of SysLogNG is log processing. You can use it to classify, normalize, and structure logs with various built-in parsers. We have the CSV parser, Pattern DB parser, JSON parser, and so on. And you can easily combine these into a lot more complex parsers as well. You can also rewrite log messages, and you do not have to think about falsifying log messages, but for example, anonymization as required by lots of compliance stuff. You can enrich log messages, for example, using the GIP parser. You can add geolocation to IP addresses, or create additional name value pairs based on the message content. And finally, you can also reformat log messages using templates. So if the destination where you are sending log messages needs to have a specific format like JSON formatting or the date in the ISO date format and so on, then you can easily reformat your log messages as necessary. And if none of these are good enough for you, you can easily extend SysLogNG using Python. For example, enrich your log messages from a database or even use it for filtering, which brings us to our next topic, which is filtering. Filtering within SysLogNG has two main uses. Most people are focused on discarding surplus log messages. Like in a normal case, you do not want to store debug level log messages. But the other use case is at least as much important. It's message routing. For example, making sure that all your authentication related events reach your same systems. There are many possibilities for filtering. It can be based on the message content, various parameters. You can use comparisons, wildcards, and many different kinds of filtering functions. And best of all, you can combine all of these using Boolean operators, creating really, really complex filters. And finally, you have to store your log messages somewhere. It's either locally or sending to another remote destination. So you can send your log messages to various SIEM systems, store your log messages to SQL databases or big data systems like Hadoop, various document stores like Elasticsearch or MongoDB, or message queuing systems like Kafka. And it's not mentioned here, but you can also extend on the SysLogNG on the destination side using Java and Python as well. I wrote an easy-to-use extension to SysLogNG, which allows you to send alerts to lots of different destinations in the cloud. Let's talk a few words about log messages. When it comes to syslog, most of the log messages have the format of a date, a hostname, and some text. The text part, in many cases, is an almost complete English sentence with some variable parts in it. Like you can see yet another SSH login message here. It's pretty easy to read by humans, and these were designed when you received just a few or few hundred log messages as a whole day. Recently, it's quite typical that a single host can collect hundreds of log messages a second, and when you have a central location to collect your log messages, then you might receive hundreds of thousands of log messages a second. That's not something to consume by a human. And if you have text-based log messages, then it's pretty difficult to create alerts and reports from them. The solution for this problem is structured logging. In this case, events are represented as name value pairs. For example, the SSH login message can be described as an application name, a username, and a source IP. The good news is that SysLogNG had name value pairs inside right from the beginning. Date, facility, priority, the application name, and so on are all kept as name value pairs within SysLogNG. And the parsers of SysLogNG can turn unstructured and some of the structured data into name value pairs as well. Many of the features which users take for granted in SysLogNG were developed during the SysLogNG version 3 period. From those, I just want to pick a few as a retrospective: the disk buffer, message parsing, Python support, HTTP destination, and Kubernetes. So, what is the disk buffer? If your destination is not available for some reason for the network program, or your central log collector needs maintenance, you can make sure using the disk buffer that no messages are lost. There are two kinds of disk buffer within SysLogNG. One is called normal and one is called reliable. As it turned out, it's not the best naming structure, as the normal disk buffer is also reliable. Reliable disk buffer gives some extra assurances. On the other hand, it also means that it can be pretty slow and resource hungry as well. So normal is usually pretty much okay in almost all situations. The main feature of SysLogNG 3 was message parsing. This is when the original message parsing code was when SysLogNG version 3 was started. It means that creating name value pairs from interesting message parts. The first message parsing in SysLogNG was ParternDB, which is a tool to turn freeform log messages like the SSH login message you were seeing on the screen into name value pairs. But we can also turn a couple of structured log messages into name value pairs, like CSV, JSON, XML, the key value pairs, and so on. You can also combine these parsers into more complex parsers. There are quite a few examples in the SysLogNG configuration library. SysLogNG can parse sudo, Apache access logs, Cisco log messages, which are thought to be syslog messages, but only just resemble syslog from far away, and a few more message formats into name value pairs. And we also have something called application adapters, which in practice means automatic message parsing when you use the system source of SysLogNG. Why name value pairs and message parsing are so important? Because name value pairs help you to do a lot more precise filtering. You can filter not just on authentication related log messages, but you can also check the username within a log message and create an alert within SysLogNG by properly parsing the log messages. It can also help in log storage. I mean, quite a few users mentioned that some applications send very verbose log messages, but they only need a small fraction of those of the data for later analysis. And when you have your hosting in the cloud, and it can really matter a lot in pricing if you forward just gigabytes of log messages instead of terabytes of log messages. And if you have name value pairs, then it's much more easy to create reports, alerts, or dashboards later on from these log messages. Python support was also introduced during the SysLogNG 3 period. It was originally developed for destinations, but now it's practically available in all parts of SysLogNG. Originally, it was told that, yes, you can use Python for proof of concept projects, but if you want to do something in production, then let's develop something in native C. It's not the case anymore. It is production ready. Especially knowing that that most users collect just a few hundred messages per second, and Python support can scale to tens of thousands of log messages a second to parse or emit or whatever. And it's easy to develop Python code. There is no need for specialized development tools or recompiling the software. And it's also a lot more easy to distribute your own SysTalkNG extensions if it's developed in Python. Version 4 of SysTalkNG already has some modules which are developed in Python. One of my favorite parts of SysTalkNG is the HTTP destination. Originally, it was a kind of do-it-yourself thing. You could read documentation of an HTTP-based API and then create a destination for it. Soon we realized that, yes, this should be packaged together with SysTalkNG. So many HTTP-based drivers are now available in the SysTalkNG configuration library. For example, the Elasticsearch HTTP driver, many logging as a service destinations are created in HTTP using HTTP, Loggly, Sumo Logic, and so on. And you can easily create alerts to various chat services like Slack, Telegram, and quite a few more using HTTP. If you create something interesting, please submit it to us, and we will bundle it with the next version of SysTalkNG. We received quite a few interesting submissions already. Finally, in one of the last SysTalkNG 3 releases, initial Kubernetes support was added. This one is just following Kubernetes log files on the file system, and it was later extended in version 4, as we will see. The main new feature of SysTalkNG 4 is type support. Version 4 was released in last December, and it's already part of OpenSUSE Tumbleweed, and it will also be part of OpenSUSE Leap 15.5. And the good news is that if you keep your version 3 configuration, it is fully backwards compatible. So you do not have to change anything in the configuration, and it will work as is. But of course, that also means that you cannot make use of the version 4 features. As I mentioned, the main new feature is type support. So name value pairs are no more just a name and a value, but you can also associate a type with them. Type information from the JSON parser or the PatternDB parsers are no more lost, and you can also create your own rules to add type information to name value pairs. What is it good for? You can use this type information in comparisons, and most of the output is now also type aware. List handling also improved quite a lot in SysTalkNG 4. I will demonstrate these changes using JSON formatted log messages from sudo 19. What is this type support exactly? Syslog.ng still stores of still stores name value pairs as text, as it's a syslog implementation, and syslog is about text messages. On the other hand, if you parse log messages using the JSON or the ButtonDB parsers, type information is now stored together with name value pairs. You can also set this manually. Why is it important? For example, if you want to do numerical comparisons, then 1.0 is no more equal with 1.1. This was a numerical comparisons didn't really work nicely earlier. But with proper type support, it is now possible. And here you can see a syslog.ng configuration I used for testing. You can see the typical config that it starts with a version number. You will learn why is it important. Then we define a source. We are using the system source, which means that no matter on which operating system we are, it will collect system log messages. Then we write, and those log messages are also parsed. In this case, we are working with sudo log messages, and those are automatically parsed by syslog.ng. That's why you do not see a sudo parser on this slide. We write the original log message to var log messages, but we also have a second log path here. We filter sudo log messages and then write the results to a JSON formatted text file, which means that we recreate the log message, we parse the log message automatically and then recreate the very same log message in JSON format in syslog.ng. Here we see how the original sudo log message looks like. The important parts here, you can see that the original log message has proper integers where it has numbers, which means that they are not in quotes. Anything in quotation marks is means that in JSON that it's a string or text type. So we see that the original is an integer, and here we also have a list. So let's see what happens if we parse it in syslog.ng3 and try to recreate the JSON formatted log message from name value pairs. As you can see, the list is not a proper list anymore. And if you look at the integers, they are in quotation marks, meaning that they were treated by syslog.ng as string instead of integers. It's easier to see this way that here the integer is quoted, and the list is practically a long string. Now let's update to syslog.ng version 4. If we check our configuration, we will get a couple of warnings that the configuration version is old. We should upgrade it to version 4.1, and that the way the JSON template is working is changed, and we need to add some additional arguments if we want the old behavior. But of course, we want to see how it looks like after upgrading to version 4. So we changed the version string to version 4. This is what tells SysTalkNG that yes, we want to use the new features. And then here is the very same JSON formatted sudo log message as parsed and reconstructed by SysTalkNG. As you can see, we have now a proper list, and the integers are no more quoted, so they were treated as integers by SysTalkNG and not as strings. Let's format it to make it even more visible. Here we can see a proper list and proper integers. How does type support affect you? First of all, if you work with the default configuration within OpenSUSE, then there is very little change, as we as that configuration collects doesn't parse log messages, just simply filters them and stores them into text files. But if you use ButtonDB or the JSON parser, and you might use the JSON parser even if you are not aware of it, I mean, for example, for the JSON formatted sudo log messages, then you might see some changes. Some of the destinations might reject or unable to process the log messages with proper type information. I mean, previously they received text fields in name value pairs, then they expect that they will receive text data in the future as well. It could also mean that your alerts or reports or dashboards do not work exactly the same way as earlier. As previously they received text, and now they receive proper integers or floating points or booleans or lists. The good news is that in most cases it also means that previously it didn't work correctly, and now it can work correctly. For example, type information can help you with comparisons. In SysTalkNG 3, there were two sets of operators for comparisons, one for strings and one for numbers. But the comparison operators for numbers only worked for integers. It didn't work for floating point numbers. And you had to enclose all values in quotes. It was easy to use the wrong operator and get unexpected results in the end. For example, this is what I mentioned, that reading Apache access logs, you can easily parse these log messages, create name value pairs, for example, the HTTP version information. But here, if you try to compare the version information, then 1.0 was equal to 1.1 as well, as the comparison could only deal with the integer part. Version 4 of SysTalkNG only has one set of comparison operators, and it works for all of the different types. Here, if the data is enclosed in quotes, then the type is string. Otherwise, it tries to figure out the type if it's a boolean, an integer, or a floating point number. So the very same comparison, if you use it in syslog.ng version 4, will work properly as expected. And there were a number of changes in Python support as well. The good news is that as long as you keep the first line, the version string of the configuration in version 3, then all of your Python scripts will work without touching them at all. On the other hand, if you want to use version 4 features, you also need to rewrite your Python scripts a bit. Luckily, not too much. You need a few additional include and object declarations have to be changed. Another new feature of Python support that you can use virtualenv with syslog.ng. Of course, for official distro packages, I use the system provided Python packages, as normally nobody wants to download external Python code. But unofficial packages can use virtualenv, and also when dependencies are missing from the distro, you can change the configuration to use virtualenv on your distro. Here are the changes in how you write your Python code. On the left-hand side, you can see version 3, and on the right-hand side, you can see that there is an additional import, and the class definition is changed a little bit. Version 3 of syslog.ng could already collect log messages from Kubernetes. Version 4 added support for Kubernetes log enrichment. This is implemented in Python. It is using the Kubernetes API to fetch body information to enrich log messages. And it can also cache information to make sure that the performance is not too bad. If you want to learn more about version 4 of syslog.ng, you should check the release notes. And for Python support related changes, we have a separate documentation on GitHub as well. Documentation is not yet ready, but hopefully that will also follow soon. So what is next in the development of syslog.ng? Right now, the main focus of development is monitoring support. One of the first changes after the 4.0 release was adding Prometheus-compatible data structures to syslog.ng statistics. And the past two releases added a lot more parameters which can be monitored within syslog.ng. So it's not just the number of messages, but also the various caches and so on, what you can discover, what you can follow in the various syslog.ng statistics. So let me give you a quick summary what I talked about. Most of the syslog.ng features we know arrived during the version 3 series. Version 4 added type support to name value pairs, a lot more flexible Python support, and Kubernetes log enrichment. And currently, the main focus of development is adding improved and Prometheus compatible monitoring support. Thank you for your attention. And do you have any questions?
Hello? Yeah. So, does syslog.ng has some web UI allowing to review logs, or is there, maybe you can recommend some third parties which allow to?
Syslog.ng doesn't have itself a web UI. It is mostly used as a central log collector, and its routes to many different software. So it's mainly used as a log management layer. So most organizations have multiple places where they need logs. They collect logs in Splunk, in Elasticsearch, in ArcSight, in whatever. But all of these need a specific set of the log messages. So syslog.ng is normally used to collect all of the log messages as an organization needs, and then routes to the different software which does further analysis.
Yeah, but how you see it, the further analysis, with what I should do it? So I export it to MongoDB, or I export it to Kafka, and then what? I just doing using regular Kafka querying of the data.
Yes,
or I would expect some tool which know that it's not just data, it's not just table with fields, but it's log messages which there is, I don't know, log level and so on and so on. So you don't know anything like this.
Many of our users use Splunk, the free version, in small organizations, the commercial for large ones. That's mm-hmm. one of them. Elasticsearch with Kibana is another very popular destination. All of these use the HTTP destination. Then MongoDB is also used. Okay, there it doesn't have any specific, log management specific features, but it has tools to access the search in the database, and the MongoDB destination is pretty popular as well, as far as I know. It allows to store name value pairs just like Elasticsearch, so you can easily create reports from the log messages.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Hi. I have two questions. One of this is when is supposed to push the new Prometheus capabilities? When are we waiting for Prometheus? And the second one is, since we are working with Prometheus and SRE solutions, also syslog, it's mostly used on Splunk, Kibana. I've used the version 3 on Kibana. But if I want to change the configuration for syslog for certain servers, for example, I have 10 servers that I want to manage who logs into those servers, and for some other servers I have some other configuration for syslog. How can I centralize the syslog configuration so I push it from Git, from some CI or stuff, and make it as DevOps as possible?
Uh, Personally, I do not use any of the central management solutions, as normally I only have single test machines. I'm working in research and development and no more in operations. But I'm aware that there are modules in Ansible, in Salt, in so most of the popular configuration management systems have support for Syslog-ng. And what was the other part of the question?
Prometheus, when Prometheus. Are we waiting for? Is there any assumption on date when can we use Prometheus?
No, as far as I know, the data format is already, well, there are some unofficial solutions already for Prometheus. I blogged about it a couple of years ago, so it's nothing recent, but should work. And recent changes in Syslog-ng make it easier. I'm not sure if the actual exporter is when will it arrive, but the data format is already a lot closer to what Prometheus expects. Previously, the statistics of Syslog-ng was not directly in the format available for Prometheus. It is now directly useful, but still an exporter is needed.
Okay, thank you.
Any more questions? Okay, then thank you.